California.
I hope we have a very rich and fruitful day together. Would you just join me in prayer for a moment? We can ask the Lord to be with us. Lord Jesus, we delight in your creation that we see out these windows. We delight in you. We delight in your grace and your fellowship. And we invite you in amongst us. And we pray that each of us would abide in you today. For if we don't abide in you, we won't bear any fruit. And we want to bear fruit. So would you be here? And would you lead everything? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I wanted to begin my presentation today by talking about a seminary graduate named Greg Spilliards. Every Sunday at his church in Memphis, Tennessee, Christ United Methodist Church, Greg teaches an adult education class. He does so probably with more theological acumen than many Sunday school teachers because he actually holds an MDiv from Asbury Theological Seminary. Greg was a pastoral intern at Christ GMC during seminary, and he actually remains on the staff. And Greg certainly sees his work within the four walls of the church as important and is very grateful for his congregation and the supportive community he enjoys there. But Greg sees his primary ministry as being outside the church's walls, out on the streets of Memphis. Greg works full-time for a commercial real estate development firm. It's called Cushman & Wakefield. And a few years ago, Greg founded and now leads a small division within that firm that God is really using in some powerful ways to promote both racial reconciliation and economic development in the inner city in Memphis. This work for Greg is all about kind of bringing to the inner city the same kind of high-quality, top-notch real estate development expertise that the more well-heeled neighborhoods in the city already enjoy. And in an interview with the local paper last year, Greg said, you know, I feel like I'm getting to do what I was created to do. The biggest project that Greg is working on right now is the Claiborne Temple Restoration Project. And some of you may know that Claiborne Temple is a historic African-American church in downtown Memphis, very active in the civil rights movement. In fact, it was the home base for the 1968 Memphis Sanitation Workers' Strike. And in fact, those famous placards, "I am a man," were actually distributed from Clayton Temple. However, in the late 1970s, the congregation moved out of that building, and it sort of lost its glory days and went into disrepair and has been vacant for about 25 years. But now, a coalition of neighborhood leaders, clergy, business folks, public officials, have all gathered together in this big project to restore this historic building and turn it into both a church and a home base for a multitude of community-serving ministries. And Greg, through his leadership in this project, has been able to bring together African-American and white pastors, black and white business folks, black and white community leaders, who are now working shoulder to shoulder to resurrect this building and make it once again a hub of community energy and life and healing. Greg is a theologically trained disciple who is using all of his skills and talents in and for his community, to the glory of God and the flourishing of his neighbors. And Asbury Theological Seminary played a huge role in the nurture of Greg Spilliards. When I interviewed Greg a few months ago, he told me about a key conversation that he once had with a beloved professor at Asbury named Dr. Ellsworth Callis, who I understand actually recently passed away. Greg was going to be used by God to cast vision for how believers could serve the church and community by pursuing a ministry through his real estate skills. And you see, that conversation had a huge impact on Greg. Greg knew that he was called to go to seminary, but he wasn't sure that he was actually called into traditional pastoral ministry. He came from folks that had been involved in real estate. He had a passion for community development. What he really wanted to do was figure out, how do I combine ministry and real estate? And you see, it was Dr. Callis's words that freed Greg up to wed those things together and to take up the vocation that he was meant to take on. As Greg told me, Dr. Callis gave him permission to pursue that dream. Well, Greg asked me to talk today about promising models of partnerships between theological schools and other entities, partnerships that are promoting human flourishing in and for communities. And I wanted to start with that story of Greg Spilliard's because, to me, he represents the fruit of theological education that takes seriously the call to whole life discipleship and that creatively and intentionally crafts initiatives and partnerships aimed at equipping future church leaders to be catalysts of kingdom flourishing in their communities. So what I'm going to do this morning is talk about sort of four kinds of partnerships, four categories. And frankly, the categories are messy and overlapping. But I want to talk about partnerships that advance community development, partnerships with local churches, partnerships with nonprofits, and partnerships with the business community. And so I'm just going to go ahead and start with Asbury. Many of you know Jay Moon and the work of the Office of Faith, Work, and Economics. And I just want to highlight two partnerships that the office is engaged in that I think really help to promote community development. One is called the ON Internship at Asbury, and it partners seminary students with marketplace Christian leaders who become their mentors. And in fact, Greg Spilliard's was in the ON Internship program, and he was paired up with a Christian man named Bill who worked in real estate. Now, through the ON internship, the students also not only are mentored by these business folks, but they take part in different kinds of special summits and meetings that bring together the interns with marketplace leaders to talk about how can the church do better at overcoming the sacred-secular divide. And in Greg's year, the internship sort of culminated and ended with all the interns getting to go and experience Acton University. And what Greg Spilliard told me about this internship was that he felt like he learned how to be a pastor and a businessman by going through this initiative. So that's one of the things that they're doing in Asbury. A second creative initiative is called the Asbury Project. And this is a partnership between Asbury Seminary and the Howard Dayton Business School at Asbury University. And the Asbury Project is an annual social enterprise plan, business plan competition. And Jay's actually going to be doing a breakout session about the Asbury Project, so I'm not going to share a lot of details about it. But I would like to tell you just a little bit about the girl that's pictured here. Her name is Taylor King. She's an Asbury student, and she was actually the first place winner in just this past year's Asbury Project competition. Taylor's social enterprise idea was for this small business that she's launched in Selma, Alabama. It's a homemade popsicle business called What's Poppin'. If you live in the hood like I do, that's a phrase that you hear in the hood. What's poppin'? What's up? What's poppin'? And this is a small business enterprise that is providing job training and job experience and life experience for teenagers at an alternative school for juvenile delinquents. And Taylor, through the program, has the opportunity to help these kids learn how to work, how to interact with customers. They learn about the sourcing, because it's a farm-to-table initiative that uses local fruit to make the popsicles. And what she is what she's seeing is how powerful this sort of business's ministry is in the lives of these young people. Selma, Alabama, unfortunately, is sort of at the bottom in Alabama in terms of educational progress, and it's at the top of the Alabama counties in the level of juvenile delinquency. So this is an initiative that's really needed in this community. And what Taylor told me was that it's just been so exciting to see these young people who really didn't know a lot about work and they hadn't had the opportunity to work. And many of them sort of had a despairing sense of the future, that their future probably just held welfare or gangs or drugs or whatever. And now they're learning about entrepreneurship and they're experiencing the pride and the dignity of work. So both the ON internship and the Asbury project are two ways that Asbury Theological Seminary is engaged in partnerships that I think are helping equip seminarians and church leaders for community development. The second category of partnership I'd like to tell you about is partnerships between seminaries and local churches. And what was fun to me in talking with Taylor, which I was just thinking I would talk to her about the Asbury Project, I ended up learning that Taylor, along with Jay Moon and other professors at ATS, has played an important role in developing a new partnership between Asbury Seminary and a particular innovative young church in Selma, Alabama, called Blue Jean Church. About 7 years ago, a district court judge in Selma named Robert Armstrong planted this church. It meets in sort of an old disused government building. It's not much to look at, but it's a community that's really bursting with vibrancy and a lot of community-focused ministry. Taylor says she loves it. It's a place where white and black are together, where rich and poor are together. She said you'll look out on a Sunday morning, you'll see a business person sitting right next to a homeless person. And what Taylor's been able to do, along with Jay Moon and others, is establish the Blue Jean Internship Program, through which Asbury Seminary students come down to Selma, and they minister in one of 12 different areas, depending on their particular sense of calling and their particular passions and interests. So, for example, an Asbury student can intern at the Hope Academy, the alternative school. They can intern with a business accelerator that's there in Selma. They can intern with the Blue Jean Church itself, with its pastoral counseling ministry, with its prison ministry, or many other options. So that's one example of a seminary partnering very deliberately with one particular and really pretty innovative church. A church, as you see their mission statement there, that's trying to bring revival and transformation to this community through the grace and love of Jesus Christ. Well, continuing on this theme about partnerships between theological schools and local churches, let me share with you a little bit about the National Fellows Initiative. And Emily, can I get you to bring me a cup of water? The National Fellows Initiative is a program that began about 20 years ago at the Falls Church Episcopal, which is now actually the Falls Church Anglican. It's a large church located in the Northern Virginia suburb of Washington, D.C. And this fellows program that they started has now expanded out to 21 different sites around the country, including my own church in Charlottesville, Virginia, called Trinity Presbyterian. Now, the Fellows Program is an intensely practical, 9-month spiritual and vocational leadership development program for recent college graduates. And typically, a Fellows Program at these different local churches around the country includes a part-time professional job in the participant's field of interest, theological coursework, Bible study, mentoring, and community service. In Charlottesville, I've had the opportunity multiple times to be the employer host of one of our fellows. And the urban ministry that I started many years ago, Abundant Life Ministries, is their place of doing community service every week through the Fellows Program. This program takes place in cohorts, usually about 6 to 12 young adults, who are all learning together how to integrate their faith, vocation, and culture. And I like how the National Fellows website describes what we might call the value proposition of this program. And it says, quote, "By participating in a Fellows program, you will discern how your story fits into God's story. You will start your post-college years with a strong foundation for a cohesive life of faith, a full life that seamlessly weaves together your career, your personal life, and your place in God's story." Essentially, the goal of the Fellows Initiative is to help these 20-somethings start well by giving them a strong theoretical and practical foundation for faith work integration and for catching a vision and an understanding of the church's role in cultural engagement for the common good. Well, as I mentioned, the program has now expanded, and there are 14 out of the 21 Fellows Program locations, each of which is housed in a local congregation. 14 of them are collaborating formally with seminaries, and I've listed some of the different seminaries that are involved in that partnership. These fellows, as part of their program, take 6 to 12 credit hours of formal theological education, typically taught by a professor at the partnering seminary. In some cases, the students pay a per credit hour tuition fee, and they get regular academic credit. In other cases, they pay a reduced fee, and they can earn what some of you probably understand to be advanced standing credits. And as I understand, it works a little bit like the AP program I was involved in, the advanced placement in high school, where you kind of take college classes, and then you get credit for them when you go off to college. Sometimes the fellows take classes that are just part of the regular curriculum of the partnering seminary. So, for example, an Old Testament survey class or a New Testament survey class. Or sometimes a professor from the seminary and the local fellows program director will together design a course that then becomes a course of record at the seminary. For example, a course like the church and culture. Well, any partnership that's a good partnership should be a win-win partnership. So I wanted to find out with the Fellows Initiative what the win was for both sides. So I did a little survey with the help from the National Program Director of the National Fellows Initiative. I did a little survey of the various program directors around the country of the Fellows Program, and I basically said, what do you get out of partnering with the seminary or theological school? And pretty much what they said was that it really added an extra layer of credibility to the Fellows Program. It sort of upped the sense of professionalism and seriousness of the program. It also was attractive to those candidates that were thinking about going to seminary in the future, and the fact that they could earn either credit or advanced standing credits was attractive. I heard comments like these in the survey, quote, "The partnership creates confidence in our academic program, and the fellows take their classes more seriously. I love being able to offer the fellows something to put on their resumes as a result of all the hard work they put into their classes." Another person wrote, "When implemented well, the partnership broadens the theological imagination and the training of the fellows." I interviewed the former program director of the Capital Fellows Program in D.C., and he shared two insights that I thought were worth mentioning to you about the value of the theological education being part of the Fellows Program. First, what he told me was that in his experience, these fellows, these young 20-somethings, entered into the program largely without a basic understanding of the meta-narrative of Scripture. These are kids that have gone to school, they've been involved in campus ministries, they've done a lot of Bible study, they've done a lot of what he called micro-level stuff. They know passages and books of the Bible. They've done a lot of study of the trees, but they had very little sense of picture of the forest. And what formal theological education was bringing to these students was that understanding of that meta-narrative. And he said he used to love to watch sort of the penny drop and eyes open and the aha moments happen when these students sort of understood the grand sweep, creation, fall, redemption, consummation, the story of God at work in the world, and how they get their job, have to play a part in that big story. Secondly, this individual told me that one of the concerning things he saw, in addition to this, about these 20-somethings, was that some of them really kind of had a bit of a bad attitude towards doctrine. You know, it's kind of like, we don't want to do anything that's systematic. We're kind of wary of authoritative structures. You know, if we focus on doctrine, it's just going to cause all this division in the church. And this individual felt that it was very important for these young people to recognize that, you know, it's critical for us as believers to understand, you know, the history of the Orthodox faith and the great debates that have raged and the wisdom that has come from the church as we've wrestled with difficult doctrines about the Trinity and Christology and sin and redemption. And so this was another benefit he felt that the Fellows programs got out of their partnership with the theological schools. Well, what about the theological schools and the seminaries? What did they get out of this partnership? Well, to get a bit of a glimpse of that, I interviewed Dr. Scott Redd, who's the president of the Reformed Theological Seminary in D.C. And Scott first said that really the main value of this partnership is simply that it just so strongly aligns with RTS's mission, which is to serve the church. And for him, serving the church certainly includes serving lay people and preparing lay leaders, not just clergy. RTS hopes that they can provide strong theological training to the marketplace Christians who are going to be going out and taking their place in the sectors of government, law, healthcare, and education. In fact, 40% of the students at RTS DC are not preparing for ordination. They're exactly these kinds of marketplace leaders in these various channels of cultural influence. And so for him, the Fellows program is a great way to sort of catch these young adults at the very beginning, at the very outset of their careers, and provide them a theological grounding that will enable them to be effective servants of the kingdom in their various vocations. Scott told me that there's also value to the seminary just in the name exposure that it gets among the students. There have been a few fellows that have ended up becoming full-time enrolled students at the seminary. The seminary gains a little bit of money, a little bit of revenue from the tuition payments. But here probably was the most important thing. I ended the interview with Dr. Redd by asking him whether the experience of RTS's partnering with the Falls Church Anglican, that particular local church, and other local churches in the D.C. area for the Fellows Program, whether the experience of that partnership had basically sort of greased the wheels or taught them lessons learned or helped them move into other partnerships. I had this thought that maybe one good partnership would sort of breed other good partnerships. And it was exciting to me to hear that the answer to that question was an emphatic yes. And in fact, the most recent thing that's happened just last year, out of the relationship that RTS has had with Falls Church Anglican over these many years, the trust that's been built, the relationships that have been built over that, out of that has come a new program at RTS. It's called the Anglican Studies Program. And what it does is offer a new degree, a Master's of Arts in Biblical Studies, an MABS. It's a 66-credit-hour program, which makes it a little bit different than the 106-hour MDiv program. And 13 credit hours of the 66 credit hours are devoted to electives that specifically allow the students, who are mainly Anglican curates, to study Anglican polity, Anglican church history, Anglican ethics and sacraments. It basically customizes the theological education for Anglicans. So that's some examples about partnerships with local churches. Let me move on to my third category. And this is about partnerships with nonprofit organizations. And the one I want to tell you the most about is a partnership that began many years ago with the Christian Community Development Association, or CCDA. CCDA is a national umbrella organization, a network of all kinds of nonprofit, mostly urban ministries all around the country. And for several years, beginning with Truett Seminary at Baylor, there's been a partnership whereby seminary students basically are able to experience CCDA and glean from its vision. The partnership was founded by a friend of mine named Reverend Jimmy Dorrell. Jimmy is the executive director of Mission Waco, which is a multifaceted urban ministry in Waco, Texas, which is where Baylor is located. It's a wonderful ministry. It serves the homeless, the substance abuse recovery. It's got some really exciting business entrepreneurial programs. And Jimmy has been both an adjunct professor at Baylor, at Truett Seminary, and a board member at CCDA for a number of years. And back in 2005, he proposed a sort of wedding of the two organizations. And the basic idea was this, that seminary students would come a few days early to whatever city where the annual national CCDA conference was being held. And during that pre-conference time for a couple of days, they would have a really intensive time learning from all kinds of nationally recognized leaders in Christian community development. Then the students would participate fully in the four-day conference that is CCDA. If you've never been there, I encourage you to go. It's my favorite conference every year. It's very joyful and vibrant, usually between about 2,500 people, very racially diverse. And so the students would just go to the plenaries and the workshops and just, you know, be sponges in it, soak all of that up. And then they would also have readings and reports, and then they had to go back to their own seminary, to their own community, and implement some kind of post-conference project in their own city. So this two-credit-hour experience was one that ended up really having a very practical benefit for whatever local community the students went back to. Well, Jimmy wanted more than only seminary students from Truett to get to experience this program, and so he kind of put the word out to a bunch of other seminaries, and over a period of years, all the different ones listed here on the screen also participated in this particular initiative, which of course was all about sort of teaching these future church leaders about Christian community development. Well, this partnership lasted for about 6 years. And then tragically, Jimmy's adult son contracted cancer, and he ended up passing away. And obviously you can understand that Jimmy's life went through a big change, and he really kind of had to scale everything back in his world for a few years. After that hiatus, he began thinking again about this whole notion of partnerships between theological schools and CCDA. But he thought that he actually wanted to try something a little bit different. Rather than restarting the initiative I've just explained to you, to make a long story short, what he did was end up piloting a program with one particular seminary, Perkins Seminary, at Southern Methodist University, and making it a partnership between Perkins Seminary and Mission Waco. So now what happens is that there's this annual special January term course in which the seminary students come and they live in Waco at Mission Waco's facility, and they are immersed in both classroom instruction that's provided by the professor of record from Perkins, who comes with the students for the month of January, as well as being immersed in hands-on ministry through all the diverse components that make up Mission Waco. And what Jimmy has concluded is that this sort of immersion approach is actually maybe even superior to the former model of the CCDA partnership, in part because the former model required the students to leave their seminaries for that week And that meant they were leaving their other classes, and so there were, you know, some challenges involved with that. Whereas if it was just the only thing you were doing for one course in the month of January, that could be, you know, a better way of doing it. Well, this new model of these sort of J-term partnerships between a seminary and a particular community development organization have been attractive to other schools besides Perkins. Loyola, North Park, Eastern Seminary, and Bakke Graduate School are all either involved or exploring this kind of program. All right, let me start to head towards the finish line here. The fourth category, we've talked about partnerships that encourage community development, partnerships with local churches, partnerships with nonprofits, and I want to end by talking about partnerships with businesses. And again, as I mentioned, the categories are a little bit fuzzy and overlapping because we've already talked a little bit about business when we're talking about Asbury. But I want to highlight something intriguing that's happening at Indiana Wesleyan that I want to showcase. And again, Eddie Shigley is here from IWU, and he'll be doing a breakout session. So I don't want to give you, you know, a lot of information here. And just parenthetically, I should mention that another great example of sort of seminary and business coming together is what's happening at Gordon-Conwell. And I understand that there's going to be a breakout session on what they're doing as well. Well, 3 years ago, the IWU School of Theology and Ministry established a business internship. And what it does is allow students to spend considerable time on site at a business owned and operated by Christians. The internship allows the students to be directly involved in the life and flow of a local business with set times for guidance, evaluation, and reflection by the primary supervisor and other appropriate business leaders. The internship requires 126 hours of work experience. It involves research, reading, and completing different assignments, as well as being on the job. About 20 students per year have been involved, bringing the total to about 60. Now, these students intern in a variety of businesses. Some are right there in the Marion, Indiana community, where the main campus of IWU and Wesley Seminary is located. And Eddie has placed interns at a large company located in Marion that oversees nursing homes throughout the region, as well as at a large Christian bookstore in the town of Marion. Students from IWU's School of Theology and Ministry have also been placed at businesses as diverse as a funeral home and a trucking company and even a major chicken processing plant. When I interviewed Eddie about the business internship, he shared a comment with me that I wanted to pass along to you. He said that he'd recently learned that Andy Stanley, who's the pastor of a mega church called North Point in the Atlanta area, had spent a boatload of money. By the way, that's a technical term, boatload. I knew I was talking to academics, so it was important to get the jargon right. Andy Stanley had spent a gajillion amounts of money hiring a consulting firm to come in and basically teach him and his pastoral staff how to effectively engage the business leaders in his flock. You see, Andy Stanley realized that he didn't really know the business world, he didn't really know how to communicate well with business leaders, he didn't really know how to disciple business leaders. I think that the future pastors graduating from IWU are going to have a real leg up. I interviewed two of these IWU students who have completed the business internship. And I asked them these questions. How do you feel that completing this internship has equipped you in new ways for pastoral ministry? Do you anticipate being a different kind of pastor than you might have been if you had not had this experience? The students' answers were very interesting. Ethan is a young man who worked at the chicken processing plant. I'm going to tell you what he said, and these aren't exact quotes, but very close paraphrases. I got to interact with people from blue collars all the way up to the CEO on a daily or weekly basis. Just seeing what they actually do. And seeing people in a context where they're vulnerable because of the realities of pain and stress in the workplace. One day in the cafeteria, I was talking to a line worker on the floor about employee morale and job satisfaction at the plant. And to Ethan's surprise, this floor assembly worker started to cry. And he said, "This is the first time any white collar has ever asked me how I'm doing." Ethan also told me, quote, "I've been awakened to the harsh realities of some people's lives. You know, before I'd been sort of insulated. I hadn't thought of myself as privileged, but seeing these blue-collar realities made me realize that I am. You cannot be born on third base in the game of life and think that you hit a triple." He said, "Everything that I'd say in a sermon, I realized, was built for educated middle class and higher people. Now I will be preaching better to the working classes." Travis, the other young man I interviewed, worked at a nursing home company. And he also had very interesting things to say about the influence of this internship experience. He said, "For me, there were two big takeaways. First, I saw that the business world does a lot of things well. I mean, it varies, of course, but some business leaders really know how to build a good organization with a healthy culture. They know how to get things organized, how to raise funds, how to recruit good staff, how to maintain worker morale. So I think pastors can learn a lot from Christian business leaders. Churches are not businesses, of course, but good businesses can offer lessons about how to be a good boss, how to hire well and lead well and cast vision, how to discern when and how to innovate. Second, I learned to understand something of the personalities of business leaders, what their particular gifts and knowledge are. And that's going to help me serve business people in my congregation. It helped me learn how to better include them. I think pastors need help with that." Apparently so, since Andy Stanley spent a boatload of money on it. Travis said, "I know better now how to ask people, business people, how they want to be in help, how they want to help, how they want to be involved. And I'm learning that they're looking for a return on their investment. And that teaches me that I need to learn how to communicate what I'm doing in new ways." Well, I think these comments from Ethan and Travis do a really great job of showcasing the great value of this kind of hands-on experience with Christian business people that this business internship at IWU is offering to its students at the School of Theology and Mission. Well, I want to close with a comment that I heard from a former director of a fellows program, a guy who now holds an administrative and teaching position at the seminary. In talking about the fellows programs and other kinds of partnerships like the ones I've been speaking about, he said, "Teaching must be more than information. It can't be just lectures. Formation and skill development are key." You know, what all the partnerships I've talked about this morning have in common is that they provide a really powerful pedagogy of show and tell, of real life experience, of learning happening in places where sleeves are rolled up. And such initiatives, in my view, are nurturing a better kind of future pastor, a better kind of future church leader. They are nurturing future leaders who are creative, who see the need to emphasize whole life discipleship, and who have seen the fruit of what happens when marketplace Christians actually capture the understanding of living into their work as mission, their work as neighbor love. The practical training and equipping and expanded vision that these future pastors are receiving, I believe, is helping them to become pastors who will lead churches that will place a high value on serving their communities and affirming the strategic vocational stewardship of the scattered church as they labor in the various culture-influencing sectors of society. And because of partnerships like this, I believe churches and communities will be much better off. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You're welcome. I'm wondering in the